Go ahead and open up to Acts chapter 1. This morning's service, the title we're going to put on that is We Are the Agents of Authority. And I hope you were here and heard that service this morning. And just as an introduction, in Matthew 28, right near the end of the chapter, when Jesus is giving his last instructions to his followers right before he ascended into heaven, he said, all power in the King James, all power in heaven and earth is given unto me, therefore you go. But there, the Greek word is exousia, and what he's really saying is all authority is given unto me, both in heaven and earth. That word authority, exousia, I like Vine's definition the best, where it says that word means it is the right to exercise power. The right to exercise power. And again, to get the imagery, that is exactly what a police officer has. And I always think of our daughter Erin, because she was so tiny, about 105 pounds when she was a police officer. But she had all the authority. When she had that uniform on now, she had all the authority of the city of Tulsa backing her up. And she's a tiny little thing, you know, not a whole lot of dunamis, not a whole lot of power, okay, but lots of authority. And that big old bus would be coming, and if need be, she could step out in front of that bus, blow the whistle, raise her hand and say, stop. And even though the bus had so much more dunamis, much more power than she had, that bus better stop, because she had all of the authority, all of the dunamis of the city of Tulsa behind her. The centurion understood that. He understood that all of Rome would back up his words if necessary. Some soldier decided not to obey him when he said something. I mean, if Rome had to call in every soldier off of every field, everywhere in the empire, that man's words were going to come to pass. Amen? We have got to start getting the revelation that is exactly the same kind of authority that had been given unto us. When Jesus said, all authority has been given unto me in heaven and earth, therefore you go, we are going with that authority. So step one, that's why we've been on for several weeks, talking about exousia, the authority. We've touched on what Peter said. It's not by my own holiness. It's not by my own power that this is being done. No, it's that name, through faith in that name, that this miracle, this dunamis, is happening. But even with that, then, we looked at the seven sons of Sceva. It's not like the name is like a lucky charm. I'm going to live like the devil, but I'm going to use the name to cast out devils. That will not work, see? That will not work. And those devils, that devil just laughed at him. He says, well, Jesus I know and Paul I know. But see, they were trying to do this in their own name. They were doing it to make a living. Thank God there's no preachers today just preaching the gospel to make a living. But anyway. I used to could get away with that better, but now it's on video and they can see my face. But tonight, let's talk a little bit. Let's introduce, though, the agent of power. Because you can be the agent of authority all you want, but authority alone does not produce the results. You got to understand there is also an agent of power, and his name is the Holy Ghost. Now, Jesus has already told us that, again, all authority, all power, all authority has been given unto me both in heaven and earth. Therefore, you go. So that's the mission. We're in his name. We're going. And we know we have authority now. So just humor me and say, Gary, we know we have authority. We know we have his name. And we have faith in his name. Very good, class. Very good. Now, but see, even knowing that, see, still yet, that knowledge is not what, that's not the power. You have to understand who it is that you are co-laboring with. So, with that net, you find Acts chapter 1? So, we know how we got authority. It's from Jesus, right? You didn't earn it. You're not the Messiah. Get over yourself. It's not by your power. It's not by your holiness. Although we need to walk holy, how are you going to be submitted to him? He says, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? So the seven sons of Sceva found out just using the name like a lucky charm, that won't work. No, you've got to be submitted to him. Okay? But now, even with all of that, you still need dunamis. You've got to have power. See, when in the early days when he was showing me this, and I was thinking about our daughter Erin with that bus, and I said, Lord, that only works if it's a law-abiding bus. Because devils are not law-abiding. Have you noticed that? What if that bus decides to run our daughter down? And he said, well, you need to keep on, because that no devils are law-abiding. I remember Dave one time teaching on this. He says, why do you think those devils very oftentimes scream when they come out? They're not coming out willingly. There's a manifestation of power happening. They're being forced out. The Holy Ghost is getting them out of there. And Jesus said that. He said, if I cast out devils, one place he says, by the finger of God. Another place, if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God. Same thing. See, it's the Holy Spirit that is the manifester. He is the enforcer. He is the dunamis. Okay? So you'll see that here in Acts chapter 1. See, Jesus, okay, we're understanding the authority now. We need to understand about the power. So starting in let's just pick it up here in verse 4. Being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When the disciples were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. Now, I've said all that to get to this verse. But you shall receive power. And in case you're wondering, that is the word dunamis. That is, if you mark in your Bible, you could put a big D right there this time. You shall receive dunamis. The devil's got dunamis. We know that because Jesus said, I have given you authority over all of the power of the enemy. And that word power there is dunamis. What are demons? Are they not fallen angels? Who do you think has more power? Fallen angels or God the Holy Ghost? I would go so far as to say this. Who do you think has more power, fallen angels or unfallen angels? Unfallen angels, I'm pretty sure, has more power. That's why last week we mentioned there be more that be with us and be with them. Amen? But now, specifically, Jesus doesn't focus on the angels. He focuses on the Holy Spirit here. He says, now you shall receive power, dunamis, dynamite, raw, pulsating, all things are possible, power. Light be power. Let there be, and there was, power. Amen? If you talk about if there's any agent, anything anywhere that works with words, it is God the Holy Ghost. And God said, just read Genesis 1 sometime. We know the Holy Ghost is the one, it mentions him specifically, the Holy Spirit. He's the one present on earth while God's doing all of creation. And God said, and it was. God said, and it was. God said, just all through there, and it was. The Holy Spirit co-labors with the spoken word. Amen? Now he says, you shall receive power, dunamis, after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Now right here, they should have got a clue right here also, that at this point the gospel is open to the Gentiles. Because he's sending them to the uttermost parts of the earth to preach this gospel. Peter, don't we all relate with Peter? Well, I do. Stick your foot in your mouth, Peter. Not too holy to say what we were really thinking, Peter. What are we going to get out of it? I love that. But he had to send a vision to Peter three times on the rooftop there, remember? To help him understand that God was opening up the gospel to the Gentiles. But he said it more than once. He said it over in Matthew 28, where he says, "Go ye into all the world and preach this gospel." Well, all the world is all the world. That's all the different nations, see? Anyway, again, I got to stay focused here on the Holy Ghost. You shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Now, let's watch this with Jesus himself. Is Jesus not our prototype? Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. So go back to Luke chapter 4. Let's start here. Well, actually, we're going to back up into chapter 3. And look at the baptism of Jesus. I'm looking at the time now. Starting in verse 21. Now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized, and you know he was baptized by John, and praying, the heaven was opened. And the Holy Ghost, the same one that he told us, now, he says, you're going to receive power after the Holy Ghost comes upon you. Now watch this. When Jesus was baptized by John in the River Jordan, the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven which said, thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased. Thou art my Son. The genealogy is given here. Which, if you want to really see how long you can endure meditation of the Word, just meditate the genealogies, you know, the begats. But come on down to the verse 38. Which was the son of Enos, which was the son of Seth, which was the son of Adam, which was the what? Son of God. God has only ever had two sons. Don't throw stones at me. He has only ever of himself produced two sons. Once when he breathed life into Adam that Alan's been talking about. Once when he breathed into the first man, Adam. The second, when the Holy Ghost came upon the Virgin Mary and conceived Jesus in her womb. Two sons. Okay? But God had given dominion to the first man, Adam. And you know what happened? The first man, Adam, when he was tempted by the devil through his wife, but still it was tempted by the devil, he fell. He succumbed. He did exactly what God said not do. What if Adam would have stood up and said, like Jesus does here in a minute, it is written, it is written, it is written. And besides that, get out. We'd all still be in the garden, I think. Amen. Now, you've got to forgive Adam right now. Father, we just lift up Adam to you right now, Lord. But see, the first man, Adam, when he was tempted, he failed. Well, what's going on? When the reason this is worded this way in verse 22, a voice comes from heaven and says, thou art my son. What's happening here? I'm going to shorten this down. This is the baptism where Jesus is declaring like an open visual vow before all of man in front of God. He's going, Father, I know why I'm here. Even John the Baptist didn't know why Jesus wanted to be baptized. He says, I need to be baptized by you. You don't need to be baptized. For sure, Jesus didn't have any sins to wash away, did he? No, what's going on here, Jesus is declaring, I know why I'm here. When John lays me down in the water, that's my visual vow to you. I'm going all the way to the cross. I'm going all the way to death. I know I am the Lamb. Just like John said, I am the Lamb. And Father, I'm vowing before you, I'm going all the way. Well, the other half of that is when John raises him up out of the water. That's him declaring his faith in that promise, thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither shall my flesh see corruption. He was putting his faith in that word that God would raise him again from the dead, just like Abraham centuries before had faith that God would have raised Isaac from the dead. Now God is using that same faith to raise his son from the dead. And Jesus had, you talk about faith, I believe you're going to do this, Father. Well, God received that. Listen, when he went down in that water, he was not dying for his own sins. That wasn't a vow of him being crucified for his sin. He's going down, really, as the first man, Adam. All of the sins of Adam, I mean the whole species, when Christ went under that water, he was making a vow before God. I'm going to die for all of mankind. And from heaven's point of view, it's like a gavel. If you can almost hear the gavel come down, the first Adam is dead. How did he die? He died in Christ. The first Adam is dead. That dominion that God first gave to Adam all that time before, all of a sudden now, if the first Adam is dead, see, God never overrode that. Adam committed high treason. One preacher said, sold out to the devil. Whether he understood all that or not, he disobeyed the word of God and he lost that dominion that he had before. Well, now if he's dead, though, see, God can't just reassign another Adam. God doesn't go back on his word. Have you noticed that? He can't just, okay, I'll pick another Adam while that Adam's still alive. But if that Adam is dead, if the first Adam is dead, isn't God free now to reassign that dominion to another son? That's what's going on here. This is the coronation day from heaven's point of view of the second man, the last Adam. See, God looks on the heart. Even though Jesus won't physically go to the cross for another 3 years or so, God's looking on the heart like he looked on Abraham's heart when Abraham raised that knife and was going to plunge it. And God saw that it was done. Well, he's looking on Jesus' heart right here. And he sees this is done. And a gavel came down. And the first Adam is dead. Now God the Father is saying, now the first Adam, my son, did you see it in the genealogy? Adam, which was the son of God, the first son is dead. Therefore, this day I declare you to be my son. And that's why at that moment, as soon as he is declared basically the last Adam, the Holy Spirit is free now to come again with that dominion. Jesus, up until this point, has his spirit always been alive to God? Sure it has. He was born with that life. He was conceived with that life in the womb of Mary. But regardless of what some books will tell you, Jesus, as a child, never healed any birds. He never did any miracles. Not until he was baptized with the Holy Ghost. Because the Holy Ghost is the agent of power. He is the agent of dominion. At this point, finally in history, Adam, if you'll allow me, the last Adam, is once more anointed with the dominion of the Holy Ghost. But now see, he has to pass the test that the first Adam failed. That's why the very next thing that happens, as you read here, Luke chapter 4, Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan, was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. 40 days tempted of the devil. See, the way we normally read that, he fasted for 40 days and then he was tempted by the devil. But it says here, 40 days tempted by the devil. And I think, I like the way that Dave, when he teaches on this, says these three temptations that we see, turn the loaves into bread, jump off the temple, and bow down and worship me. He said, that's a summary. That's a summary of all the devil threw everything at this man that can possibly come against a man. I'm sure in the devil's mind, he probably got a report. I don't know if he was there the day Jesus was baptized, but some demons were. And the report comes back. Uh-oh. Uh-oh, we got a new Adam on the scene. The devil probably laughed and said, hey, we tripped up the first man, Adam. We'll trip this one up too. And that's why, here we go. For 40 days, he is tempted. And I believe everything, and the way Dave taught that, he was tempted in the flesh. He was tempted in his soul, like suicide even. Jump off the... Have you ever seen the temple? Seen how tall that is? That's a suicide jump right there. And twisting scripture. You ever seen anyone... Anyway, I started to say crazy with the Bible, but anyway. Yeah, you know, crazy. You twist scriptures and get you to do crazy things, you know. Ask the people in Guyana. Well, you can't. They're dead. But anyway, the Jim Jones thing. Tempted in all points... And again, I love how Jesus... would to God the first man Adam would have responded, "It is written." Now, it may not have been written for the first man Adam. It has been spoken. He just could have said, "God said, God said, God said." No, no, no. And if he would have held fast to the Word of God, again, we would all be in the garden. But this one, he knew the secret. He knew the answer. He knew what to do. "It is written. It is written." Let me tell you right now, when the devil comes to tempt you, don't say anything but this. Don't say anything but this. And don't wait till you're tempted to get full of it. Get yourself full. Blessed is the man that meditates day and night in the Word of God. And you can read Psalms 1. And it just, his leaf will not wither and everything he'll do shall flourish. But it's, you got to have it in you. It's got to become bone of your bone. Well, anyway, can you see what's going on? But now Jesus, he passed the test. Let's just pick up the last one here. It's verse 9, Luke 4, 9. "He," the devil, "brought him to Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence. For it is written, He shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee. And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou shalt dash thy foot against a stone." Boy, there's the devil. "And Jesus answering said unto him," here it is said, "Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him and never tempted him again. Is that what? No, that's not what. No. Oh, I'm sorry. I read the modern Bible. I read the ultimate grace thing, radical grace thing here. No, he departed from him for a season. For a season. Meaning he's going to circle back around some other time. You better be ready for that. Okay. But now notice, once Jesus has passed the test, we already saw he was baptized. We looked in Luke 3. Did the Holy Ghost come upon him at the baptism? See how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. But notice, when did that power become manifest? After he was finished all that temptation and he succeeded where the first Adam failed. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit. Oh, my goodness. From this moment on is where you start seeing the miraculous ministry of Jesus, where he starts casting out devils and healing the sick and opening blind eyes and doing things that no other person can or has ever done. But now, what you've got here, at the baptism of John, if you'll allow me, he was declared to be the last Adam. That's the day he was made the agent of authority. Can you you with me? But the day that he overcame the devil and finished that temptation, that's the day that he was teamed up with the agent of power. Now, he was already baptized with the Holy Ghost, but now he and the Holy Ghost, they're working together. I had my large, manly friend come up today and stand right next to me. You know, we have... Go ahead. Let's just do it again. We got the... People may not have seen that. And these visuals help, I think. You know, look. Good Lord. I want this guy to go with me. I want this guy to go with me everywhere I go. Now, if you can't see what we're doing, if you're listening by audio, I've got a big fella right here. Now, he's a big guy. And you got to understand now, God has made me an agent of authority. I'm not a big guy. I'm only 5'7.5". I used to be 5'8". Gravity is winning. Anyway. But if I was even Wally Cox, how many is old enough to remember Wally Cox? I mean, you know, little bitty wiry dude, you know. But, and okay, come here, Jason. Perfect. Come here, Jason. Come on up here. Hey, that's what you get. Don't wave your hand if you don't want to participate. Come on. Perfect. Perfect. This is perfect. Now, Jason is a man of God. Just stand right here. Stand right next to him, Sam. All right. Here's your agent of authority. All right. This is the guy that can eat cheesecake all day long and not gain a pound. Pardon me while I slap you a little bit. Okay, all right. But he's not very big. He's even smaller. He's the small guy, you know. You know, so that, you know, maybe you have these big, giant, burly devils, and they go, you think you're going to cast us out? And then all of a sudden, he just gets arm in arm here with God the Holy Ghost. And all of a sudden, the whole deal has changed. All of a sudden now, in other words, here he comes. And you got to understand, the Holy Ghost is here the whole time. The Holy Ghost has power the whole time. Do you notice he's not casting out devils without the agent of authority? Amen. Do you notice? He has all this power. He could have made light in the beginning when it comes to power. He had the power to make light, but he had to wait for something. What was he waiting for? The spoken word, light be. He does not do anything on his own authority. God set the universe up, he works with the word. Jesus was the word made flesh, and in his name, so are you. Amen. So are you. So this is what Peter meant when he said, it's not by my power. Here, give me your arm. It's not by my power. Like, you know, flex. Give me a flex here. It's not. Well, it's pretty good, actually. Anyway, it's, but it's not by. It's not by my power. It's not by my holiness. That's good. That's good. It's not by my holiness. It's that name. See, he knows. He's not really even depending on the power of the Holy Ghost, although he is. What he's depending on is that name and faith in that name. And the Holy Ghost is commissioned to manifest the kingdom of God in that name. But he does not do it. Holy Spirit is the agent of power. The believer is the agent of authority. The agent of authority cannot get anything done without the agent of power. But what we don't get, the agent of power can't get anything done without the agent of authority. This is the way God has set it up. The Holy Spirit has the power to cast every devil out everywhere, anytime. But he doesn't do it because he works in conjunction with believers, the Word of God. He also cannot manifest if there's no faith. What? All things are possible to those who what? Believe. Okay, y'all can sit down. Was that a good illustration or what, though? Give them a hand. Perfect. Praise the Lord. Go to John 14. More and more I'm understanding why Jesus had to leave and send the Holy Spirit. He said, years ago I did a message. Many years ago now. I don't remember the title of it, but it was that verse which I didn't look up. But Jesus at one point in here says, it is expedient for you that I go. And in plain English, expedient means it's better for you that I go. Because if I do not go, the Father will not send the Comforter unto you. And I didn't really understand that because we had recently had a death in our family, an aunt that I had that just loved God, served God for decades, and she wound up getting cancer of the brain, and she loved God, but it was denominational people. They didn't even believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost and tongues and so forth. But she loved God, and I know that God would have done any. You know, Jesus paid the price for her to be healed. See, and I'm going. You know, recently had gone. She wound up dying. How many's glad she's in heaven? I'm really glad she's in heaven. Been there quite a while now. But that was fresh on my mind, and I was trying to understand these things. And I'm thinking, Jesus said, it's better for you that I go away. And I'm going, I'm not sure about that. I'm not sure about that, Lord. I remember talking to Dave about it. I said, how can he say it's better for us that he go away? Because I know if I could get Jesus there in the room with my Aunt Betty's, who it was, I know she'd be healed. See? So Dave, he thought about that a while. Then he taught on it himself. He said, listen, this is what Jesus is saying. Well, sure, if he'd have stayed on planet Earth himself, set up his office in Jerusalem. He said, it might take you 3 years to get an appointment, to get your Aunt Betty or your loved one an appointment with Jesus. But one thing you know for sure, if you got that appointment with him, whoever you brought to be healed, when you left, they'd be healed. Amen? But see, Jesus, he says, that's one system, could have done it that way. But he doesn't want us to have to wait for 3 years. And God didn't want it where there'd just be one son, one anointed person on planet Earth that we all had to go to. He says, no, he is going to replicate, duplicate the son in all of us. It is better for you. He said, the same Holy Spirit who was the agent of power for Jesus, through this method, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. What religion has done has brainwashed the church to think we're slimy dog worms, that God's mad at us about 90% of the time, that we're not worthy of the crumbs that fall from the Master's table, and that we have no power, no authority or anything, and we're just barely making it through life. And that is just the opposite of the gospel. The truth of the gospel is, he said about each and every one of you, this day thou art my son, this day thou art my child. You shall receive dunamis, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. What we have to do is develop like Peter did. It is that name and faith in that name. We've got to get past our fear, get past our self-analyzing all the time, if you'll allow me. Now, there is a purging going on. Have you noticed this past 2 years? Have you noticed a lot of people can't stand the purgings? Smith Wigglesworth said, the filthy works of the flesh have got to be dealt with, and many cannot stand the burnings. That's what it feels like, the burnings, you know. And if you want to build a big church today, now eventually this will work, but once the revival breaks out, but probably the best way to build a big church is not through prayer and fasting. That is not what most people are looking for. Tell me how to die to the flesh more. That's not what most people are interested in. They're interested in my best life now. That's what I want, huh? You know. John 14. Now, here's our verse. This is the one. This is revival. This is the commission verse for the prayer center. It's verse 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Now, these next two verses, this has got to become... You've read them in your Bible 100 times, maybe more, like I have. You could quote them. You could teach them. But we've got to be able to live them. God cannot lie. And he says, whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do. Say it out loud with me. Whatever I ask in his name, he does. That the Father may be glorified in the Son. If I ask anything in his name, he will do it. Now see, that's faith right there. He either said that or he didn't say it. He meant it when he said it or he didn't mean it. I believe he did mean it. And he intends for us to believe it. Angie and I were talking about a testimony of that's my daughter Angie, talking about the testimony of a man, which I won't mention right now, but it's a good guy, loves the Lord, he's got a good ministry going on. But he talks about the early days, because this guy lived for like 21 years as a drug addict and just messed up guy, you know. And he not only messed up his life, he messed up anybody's life that he associated with. Anyone? Anyway. But he really got saved. He really got Spirit-filled. And he struggled like everybody else. I think it took him 5.5 months to get really out free, where he was completely free of drugs and stuff. But he did. Thank God for that. And I was listening to his testimony, because today this guy's got a healing ministry like nobody's business, you know. And they were interviewing him about that. And I was listening carefully. He says, well, I saw my first miracle in a church service. I was there and I saw it. And I went, what? God still heals today? He says, I just made up my mind. I'm praying for everybody. I mean, I love the simplicity. You know? I'm just praying for everybody. So he just began. Walmart, you know, grocery store, taxi cab, Didn't matter where. In the name. Come here. Can I pray for you? And this one lady said no. I remember this one, this grandma lady. Can I pray for you? And she was going, no. And so, you know what? He asked the granddaughter that was with her, can I pray for your grandma? And that made the grandma even madder. Says, I can't believe you would get my granddaughter involved in it. But he prayed for the lady and she got healed. Now, listen to this part, though. This is the part that just intrigues me. Because he says, I made up my mind I was going to pray for, if God still answers prayer and heals today, I'm going to pray for every person. Now, if you don't listen carefully, you'll miss this. I had to go back and make sure that I had it right. Two or three times I've watched this. He says, I didn't keep perfect records, but I think I prayed for 1,000 people before I ever saw one of them get healed. Did you get that? He would not. Does that sound like that widow woman that would not take no for an answer? I know what you said, Jesus. I know what you said. Whatever I ask in your name, you will do it. I'm praying, and he doesn't see the answer. I'm praying for the next one. I'm praying for the next one. Jesus cannot lie. Jesus cannot lie. Sounds like that widow woman that wore out that judge because she wouldn't take no for an answer. Now, I know God's not really like that. It's something in our own soul that we have to get past, okay? But she would not take no for an answer, and he wouldn't either. Now, a real recent one that I saw, like within the last week, he's just checking into the hotel. And see, now him and the Holy Ghost have developed a relationship, because I notice how he says it now. He says, I was just checking in, and I think the way he said it, God told me this lady had a bad back. This lady has a bad back. So I said, do you have a bad back? She said, yes. He said, I don't know exactly the wording. He didn't tell everything. The end result, she let him pray for her right there at the hotel lobby. She not only got healed, then he led her to the Lord and she got saved. There was another employee in the lobby that watched it. He's already a Christian. He says, I have a bad knee. Hallelujah. And he got healed too. We're coming to that time where we cannot be a people anymore that's wishy-washy, one foot in the world, one foot in the kingdom. Make up your mind. That from the Old Testament, I was just remembering the words of Joshua. Because the people, you know, they kept waffling, whether who are they going to serve. And he said, if Baal be God, serve Baal. But if Jehovah be God, serve Jehovah. As for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Now we're coming into this time of revival. I think what he's doing with this series right now, we have got to understand we are his agents of authority. He has no other lips but ours. He has no other hands but ours. He has no money but ours. We are his agents of authority. Did y'all like that this morning when I had Bo Moffitt? And I said, now what if it was Bo Moffitt Enterprises and he sent me to another land to set up business in the name of Bo Moffitt? And after two, and then he gives me a debit card and an account and he gives me all his stuff. And I go, and then after 3 weeks, I call him and I say, there's nothing happening here. And I said to Bo, why aren't you doing anything? And he says, I sent you there with my name, my power of attorney, access to all of my resources. And for us, he would say, and with the Holy Ghost himself. Why are you asking me what I'm doing? I'm asking you, what are you doing? Well, that's too real. That's too real. We can't be having that like it's our fault. Like he's expecting us to do something. I better get back to our verses where it's safe. Let's look at this again. Let's go just a little farther. So we read verse 14. If you shall ask, he says, if you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. And listen, that is so important. We usually just skip over that. I see it. If you just said that a different way, isn't that the same thing as, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? It's time to bow the knee. If he's been dealing, okay, and I'm not looking at anybody, if he's been dealing with you about forgiveness, please ask him to help you. Don't fight him anymore. He'll help you forgive if you'll ask him. If he's been dealing with you about whatever, you know, with me and Angie, I mean, we're trying to be very transparent. We're with us. He's dealing with us this year on worship and fasting. Really. And I still have to watch it. See, my default thing is go pray in tongues. And how many knows we're supposed to pray in tongues? But that's not where he's dealing with me right now. See, it's not okay for me to avoid worship right now and go use that same hour praying in tongues. He's trying to break me through in a different area. And it's not okay for me to just pray in tongues and not fast. Oh! He's teaching me things, see? He's teaching me things. Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? With some, I'm not even going to pick on stuff. There's just different things with different people, okay? So if you love me, how about do what I say? Would that be okay? If you love me, do what I say, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Now, part of the reason he's telling them that, I mean, they've only been walking with Jesus about 3 years, 3.5 years maybe, and now Jesus is leaving, and it's traumatic for them. They don't want Jesus to leave. Be honest with you, they're not interested in no other comforter. They want him to stay. So they're going through this traumatic experience 3.5 years in. But he's telling them, this other one that's coming, you'll never have to go through this again. This comforter, he will abide with you. How long? Forever. I have a lesson that I teach once in a while called, did you know the Holy Ghost is stuck with you? He is, in a way. He's stuck with you. Now, he is God. He is love also. But in a way, he is stuck with you. On your worst day, he's with you. Don't tell me God's not merciful. The Holy Ghost was there on my worst day and I'm not toast. He didn't zap me well, anyway. Then he explains a little more, verse 17. This comforter is going to abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it sees him not, neither knows him. But you know him, for he dwelleth with you, O my Lord, and shall be in you. Did you know that you are the Ark of the Covenant? You are the Ark. That Ark of the Covenant in the Old Testament is a perfect type. It's made out of acacia wood. You know, there's nothing real fancy about acacia wood. It's just wood. That's a type of the flesh. But boy, on the inside of that, the very glory of God, the enemies of Israel would tremble in fear when they would see that Ark of the Covenant coming. And I'm telling you right now, devils tremble in fear when they see you walk into the room. Darkness knows when light has come. Let's go just a little bit more here. Let's go clear over to 16. And look at verse 13. Let's start winding this down. When he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he, I love that personal pronoun, not it, he, Holy Ghost is an entity, a person, God, he will guide you into all truth. He shall not speak of himself, and all that means is he has not come to be your Lord. He has come to bring you the Lordship of Jesus Christ. He's not doing this on his own authority. He's working in conjunction with the head of the church. Whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he shall show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, said I, that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you. That makes no sense at all unless you get the revelation. We have been made joint heirs with him. All that the Father has belongs to Jesus. And if you are Christ's, That same inheritance belongs to you. We are exactly the agents of authority sent on a mission. He says, Father, the same way you sent me, I am sending them. We are on a rescue mission to seek and to save that which is lost, to heal the brokenhearted, to open the eyes of the blind. Everything, it's the same mission. We have the same authority if you yield it to Him, and we have the same agent of power. It's not your power. It's not your holiness. But it is the dunamis, the dynamite power of the Holy Spirit, that when you speak, He manifests what you say. I think we're on a path to revival. Thank God for this agent of power. We're going to talk more about co-laboring with the Holy Ghost. Amen.